Hi, I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Con la sola, no está sola. Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
¿Cómo estás,
Babelequis? Muy bien, Fabiruchis. ¿Tú qué pedo?
You know, I'm just here, so excited for the holidays to come because mm-hmm. I've been working so much.
I know, girl.
And, you know, it's just time. It's time to take a break, visit family.
What are we going to do in our break? Tell everybody.
Las posadas. We're going to pray to Jesus.
Yes. Lord. We're going to go, oh my God, we need to get in touch with Titty Talk. Have you heard of that podcast?
Say that again. What?
Titty Talk.
What?
They're a podcast in El Paso.
Yes.
So we're going to be in Albuquerque.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be maybe in El Paso and in Juarez. So we should get together. But anyway, I was just thinking about what we're going to do in the holiday.
Girl, you're talking about December.
I am.
Live in the now.
No. That's how excited I am. Even... I'm going to graduate, man. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Congratulations.
Muchas gracias. Yes.
So, Babelito, as some of you know, you got your PhD in
art history.
Specifically?
Colonial Latin American art history.
Okay, and you're graduating this December.
Yeah, well, I have my diploma and my degree. You just...
But you wanted to walk?
Because funerals...
Okay.
bodas...
Sí.
And graduations are not for you. They're for your family and friends.
So your mom and dad wanted you, a grown-ass man, to walk
yes, bitch.
After getting his doctorate. Okay.
I mean, this is going to sound like the immigrant like sad story, but my grandfather came here a long time ago. He was part of the Braceros program. He broke his back working in the fields in California. My dad has been working full-time construction work for years, and I got to use that privilege. They work for that privilege, and it's a gift that I'm going to give my parents. So if they can see me walk, órale, güey.
I mean, as long as your parents want to do that, because if when my cousins graduate, because you know I have 80 cousins, that cough. My God.
Okay, sigile.
My God. I have like 80 cousins, and it's like, I always call them and be like, bitch, do you really need me to be at your graduation? Because, and they're like, no, don't come. My mom made me do it.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what I'm asking you.
Yes, yes.
Via this story.
My sister, I left Facebook, and my sister is so excited. She has like a whole group going on of family that are going to come from El Paso, from Mexico City. It's going to be lit.
Nobody says that.
I say it.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. That's exciting. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be cool. So you are working on some crazy project. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Which one?
The one with the paintings.
Oh, yeah. So this December, I'm going to be part of Untitled. It's an art fair mm-hmm. in Miami. It's like December 6th or something
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing a bunch of paintings based on Jose Maria Velasco paintings.
And who is Jose Maria Velasco?
Jole! Jose Maria Velasco is a 19th century landscape painter from mm-hmm. Mexico
mm-hmm.
who used to paint a lot of beautiful landscape paintings.
Mm-hmm. The microphone's right here. We're doing a podcast.
And I'm making a bunch of copies of them. I don't know. That's boring. I don't think I want to talk about that.
Why? It's fascinating. There's a reason why you chose Jose Maria Velasco.
Yeah. So I've made replicas of his paintings before, but like really large scale, like murals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I want to recreate every single painting he has painted that
Damn.
Is documented to scale. So they're a lot smaller. They're like, some of them are just like a foot.
Yeah.
And some of them are like the paintings you see in the museums that are like 4 feet by 3 feet or whatever.
They're amazing. I've seen them both.
So I'm creating at least 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few more to do. And they're going to get shipped out to Miami soon. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Everybody, I've seen Favi for the past week, maybe what, once? Mm-hmm. He's been a recluse working on this project. So I can wait to see the pictures of all the paintings put together. It's going to, I mean, they look pretty awesome. They look pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's good to talk about paintings when you're on a podcast, you know, because people can see you.
Well, that's why we put, that's why we have an Instagram for people to follow us.
Okay. So last week we brought you a playlist from Sochi and George, and we talked to them the episode before, and so I recorded a lot of interviews while I was in Austin, Texas.
Correct.
So today we're going to bring you an interview from one of our dear friends, Michael Anthony Garcia.
Who, shout out, Michael.
Who is a visual artist, a teacher, a vegan. We get into his veganism.
Oh my God, we're obsessed with that. Well, I am obsessed with that.
So we talk a lot about food with him. And he went and sat down with us at the Museum of Human Achievement, where I had my residency. And we had a gay old time. So you're going to hear about that. And then we'll be back with a listener letter.
Yes, and it's a good one, girl.
And some recommendations.
Yes.
Do the little music. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?
I don't know. Maybe. Wait a minute.
We're going to be at Wellesley College November 17th.
I can't wait to meet everybody. I've never been to Boston before.
Oh, my God.
Wellesley College and its history.
There's so many white supremacy monuments there. We're going to have a blast.
We're going to tumble them all down.
That's right. Latinos Who Lunch is at Wellesley College November 17th. We're going to have a lunch at around noon, and the events just keep going.
All day long.
And going and going all day long. We're going to do a talk. We're going to do a live podcast. And then I'm going to have an art show reception, so come check it out. Check out our social media for all the times and locations. So if you're in the Boston area, come hang out with us. Dude, you know where I want to go?
No me digas.
I want to go to LA.
Dude.
I miss it so much.
I know. I escaped last week just for one day because I had to be there so bad.
You know, we're going to be in Boston. Mm-hmm. What if we fly into LA and be there on November 19th?
Pues órale, güey, vámonos.
What? What's happening that day?
Podcasterio Fest 2017 finally is right here. It's going to take place on Plaza de la Cultura in downtown LA. This is a festival that is put together by Café Con Pam, Latinos Who Lunch, and Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet, and it's presented as always by Molcajete Dominguero. Don't forget to get your VIP tickets. There's a couple of them left. It's $25, and that allows you to get in the after party. Again, Podcasterio Fest 2017, about 17 of your favorite Latinx podcasts talking about all kinds of amazing things from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, November 19th, Plaza de la Cultura, no se lo pierdan.
And yes, it is a sold out event, so it's kind of weird that we're doing a commercial for it, but not really.
Yes,
because
I just said that, girl, you were not paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention because it's Molcajete Dominguero. That's what
correct.
I'm saying.
Yes,
you can just go shopping.
Yes, so
and you can see us in the background, like, hey, what's up? But you won't be able to get in, which is fucked up.
Tragando tacos,
but we're definitely going to be walking around, shopping and stuff too. Mm-hmm. So come by.
Don't miss it. This is the beginning of hopefully many years of Podcasterio Fest. So come and check it out. Están matando los mosquitos.
Ay, Dios mío, ¿por qué?
Güey, hoy me levanté y tenía comezón en el ankle. It looks like I'm about to die. There's like an epidemic going on in my ankles, but it's just the mosquitoes. It's crazy. I don't know what's happening.
Have you ever seen the movie The Elephant Man?
And I've said, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just here in Austin, Texas, living my truth. Uh-huh. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Michael Anthony Garcia.
Hello there.
Bienvenido.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we're here at the Museum of Human Achievement, a.k.a. MOHA. And every time I say that, I have like I'm a little bit triggered because I feel like mojado. It's like very close. But
take your mind out of the gutter.
But I met Michael through the Moha because Michael is part of the organization. Before we get to know you a little bit, can you talk a little bit about what the Museum of Human Achievement is?
Yeah, it's just like a multifunctional space where they do everything from visual art, performance art, music, experimental theater. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
Here. Installation.
This place is like an art gallery. There's studios here. There's a residency program. There's a performance space. You name it.
And right now we are inside of your studio.
Yes.
Inside of the museum. And yes. This is the cleanest space you've ever had.
Really?
Yes.
It is true.
It looks good. It looks good.
Really?
Yes.
It's because I haven't done anything yet. I've been here 2 weeks and I haven't done shit.
Yes, you have. We've been eating and and drinking.
That's true. That's true. Austin is the best for that.
Speaking of food.
Oh, yeah.
What have we just had for lunch? Can you explain it?
Oh, sure.
Señor?
Sure. We went to Mr. Natural.
And what is Mr. Natural?
So it's a vegetarian and vegan Mexican restaurant here in town. They've been here forever, at least as long as I've been living here for the last 16 years. And yeah, they just do really good Mexican and Tex-Mex inspired food.
And what do you order?
Today I had the chilaquiles.
Yes. I had chilaquiles. No, it was migas.
Okay, let's talk about migas because I did not, I've never seen that word before I came here.
Me neither.
To Austin because to me, migas are chilaquiles con huevos.
Correct.
Like
y chilito mat cebolla.
Yeah. So it's like to me, migas is chilaquiles. But I guess here
chilaquiles son tortillas tostadas con chile. Mm-hmm. With a salsa.
Y cebolla.
Y migas.
Pero no huevo.
No.
A huevo, no huevo.
Si quieres chilaquiles con huevo, son chilaquiles con huevo.
Yeah.
See, I've never had chilaquiles sin huevo. I've always had them con huevo. I just grew up that way.
Ah. No,
but here they call it migas.
But and, I grew up eating that for breakfast. Tortillas con huevo y chile tomate cebolla. But we didn't call it migas. We would just call it tortillas con huevo. That's it. But here they're migas. And I had fake chorizo.
How was it?
Yeah, how was that?
It's not fake. I mean, you ate it. It was real.
It's existential chorizo.
Yeah.
That's how I order it. Me da el chorizo de mentiritas. That's what I said.
Oh, you said
And this place is like super vegetarian, super Mexican. And the lady just like raised her eyebrow and she was like, okay.
Okay, girl. It wasn't good. I'm not going to lie. Oh, no, okay. The plate was okay. Mm-hmm. But the chorizo.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, man. Like there's certain times when I'm in Austin where I'm like, okay, I can do this vegan life. And then there's other times like today where I'm like, nope, I cannot go for it.
So, Michael, are you vegan?
I am, yeah.
And so...
And for the record, you're bringing it up. I'm not.
Because I know.
People say that vegans are always trying to put it out there.
But that, I mean, I've met a few Mexican vegans. Actually, you're the second one I've met.
You're a rare breed.
Shout out to Cynthia in LA, La Vegana.
Shout out to Marta in Brooklyn.
Yeah, see, we all know one.
Yes.
But so how has that shaped your identity?
I've always felt like I'm kind of a weirdo in any group or setting I'm in. I don't necessarily look Mexican. A lot of people, especially other Mexicans, they'll first thing they do is come speak to me in English, even if I speak to them in Spanish first. So I'm just, you know, a little bit off, a little bit different. So I'm kind of.
What do you look
it.
Like?
Yeah.
People assume I'm Middle Eastern.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I always get that.
Because of the beard.
Even Middle Easterners come up to me and they're speaking to me. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
I'm like, mucho gusto, pero.
Yeah.
So as far as your family goes, like, how was it for them to adjust to your life, to your new life?
Your lifestyle,
your life choice, your voyage.
When you came out.
Yeah, exactly.
When you came out as a vegan, what did your family say?
It's hard to think because it was a really long time ago. Growing up as a kid, I really didn't even like meat. It kind of always grossed me out. I still ate it though because I thought you just had to, until I finally heard that there were people out there that were vegetarians, and I was like, wait, I could not eat this. Yeah, they were, my mom especially was pretty supportive. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing cook, and so I don't know, I kind of feel like for her, maybe she felt like it was a good challenge to recreate some of the things that she does.
When my little sister tried to came out as a vegetarian, la metieron al closet, güey. Because she was a teenager, my dad's like, no, you need meat. You're not going to be eating like this in this house. Never again.
Ew. I like my older siblings, they work and often still do tease me and stuff, but like,
yeah,
whatever. That's what they do. Regardless.
So when you go to Mexico, you'll make it work.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, there's vegans in Mexico.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been to some restaurants over there that are vegetarian, vegan.
Really?
Not the best though.
En el DF?
Yeah, like I've not been impressed with the ones in Guadalajara. Yeah, I did find this one restaurant that I loved, and I can't think of the name of it. Mm-hmm. I just know it by how to get there. but yeah,
here. Yesterday I ate the best vegan Chinese food, and when I come to town, I crave it.
Oh, nice! Where?
So, where was it? It's called Veggie Heaven.
Oh yes! Oh yes!
That was so good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our favorite places in Austin, because
Veggie Heaven.
We frequent Mr. Natural all the time. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. POC owned. Mm-hmm. Mexicano 100%.
And they're resisting in a neighborhood that it's increasingly being gentrified.
Amen to that. Yes. So when I got here, I said I'm going to focus on trying to support Mexican or POC
owned businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Mr. Natural. Shout out to Satan, I call it, here in Canopy on the east side. Even though it's hard because you want to support local. As artists, it's hard because, I mean, we haven't got into your art yet, but we're all artists. So we're like the first step into gentrification. So right now we're in this warehouse that's now the Museum of Human Achievement that, I don't know, pretty soon could be developed much like Canopy, right? Which used to be a distribution center for Goodwill. And now it's galleries and coffee shops and
studios.
Yeah. And studios. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't. So anyways, that being said, it's important to support local.
Yes.
And it's important to support brown businesses. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So far, Mr. Natural has been one of my favorites, and
I already recommended Veggie Heaven. I've been going to that restaurant since 2009.
Oh, they closed for a while.
They did.
Yeah, because they're not where they used to be.
Yeah, they moved. Yeah,
yeah. The mother who owned, she retired, and so they shut it down. But then the daughter came back and reopened it in the new location,
and it's better than ever.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's in a little more upscaley looking, but the prices are still.
So what is another vegan place or another place that you recommend here in Austin?
Gosh.
We have that burger?
Oh, yes. Arlo's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series of food trailers, and they have
Arlo's. Yeah. Where is it at?
There's one at Cheer Up Charlie's. There's one at Spider House.
I had it last night.
Did you?
It was amazing.
Yeah. What did you have?
It was a
Here's where the
vegan burger.
Oh, the bacon cheeseburger?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I'm so serious. Into it.
Like, all my meat eating friends are like, that is some real shit right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Such
good
stuff.
The first time I had it, it was freaked me out because it is kind of a little too realistic.
It's sometimes a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But tell us a little bit of about your art. What do you work? Sure. What medium you work in?
I started out mostly as a sculptor, found object type work, and installation kind of evolved from there. I've always kind of done performance on the periphery, but in the last couple of years, I just feel like I've been having more opportunities just kind of come my way as far as that's going. So I'm just kind of going with it. Mm-hmm. So more performance than ever before.
And earlier at lunch, you were talking about, you had two performances. Explain to our audience kind of what your performances entail and what is it that you do, the themes that you talk about in your performance.
Yeah. It varies, but the upcoming one here in Austin is going to be at Colab. Mm-hmm. And it's part of a larger show that's kind of about death and transformation. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of commissioned, they commissioned the artist to do this. The curator, Alyssa Taylor Wendt, interested in exploring that idea of death and transformation. The space where CoLab is right now is going to be demolished to build condos. Imagine that.
So it's a comment on that.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of comment on mm-hmm. that. And I think at the end, she has this idea of destroying the work that's in the space as well.
Oh, interesting.
So, my piece is trying to connect death and change to the kind of the larger universal idea of it. So like matter transforming into energy and back again, and that essence of it.
And that idea of change is very interesting to me here, specifically in Austin. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was giving a tour of everything that Austin is not anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So we spent an hour driving around this area and downtown. Yep. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah. I live here and I don't recognize it sometimes.
It's amazing how much has changed.
Yes. And very quickly too.
Super fast. I mean, I haven't been here since 2013, I think, mm-hmm. or 12. Mm-hmm. And it's like two different towns. I don't recognize it.
Yeah.
As far as local organizations here, mm-hmm. I know that you do a lot of work with the Mexican American Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that and your kind of your part in the community here?
I've actually been very fortunate and to be supported quite a bit, especially by like the Latino institutions here in town. So Mexican American Cultural Center, the Emma S. Barrientos Mexican American Cultural Center,
mm-hmm.
And Mexicarte Museum. They've like given me lots of opportunities that have springboarded me to other opportunities, and just met some great people that are just super supportive. They've given me curatorial opportunities. I work with an art collective called Los Outsiders, and they've let us curate exhibitions or, you know, show our own work. So,
and all of these different institutions that can be mm-hmm. found online, so I can put the links online,
definitely,
right?
Definitely.
Oh, okay, good.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what about your performance work? Are there any videos out there that we can recommend to our audience?
Yeah, yeah. I'm on my website. I have videos or at least still images. I'm still really bad about documenting. I have really bad luck. Like, I'll turn on the camera and let it start performing, and then it didn't work, or the video.
Yeah.
Or somebody stands in front of the camera, you know, that kind of stuff.
Somebody from the audience.
Yeah. So yes. Like, damn it.
Yeah, it's... But it's also, I think it's good though that sometimes you might have a picture or two, and that's enough documentation
to
really talk about what happened. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's been like a big conversation in the art world when it comes to performance art. Mm-hmm. Does the performance end with the end of the performance, or should it continue through video photography?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it depends on the nature of the performance itself. Especially, I think, durational work, because it's like, it's about that period of time. And so
one of the things that I've noticed before, mm-hmm. and I haven't noticed today, is the involvement of the Latinos in the art world here in Austin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's harder for me to see. It's the visibility. It's not there.
It's true.
So now that you are involved with organizations, can you mm-hmm. tell us a little bit more about where can people go and like see and experience Latino-based art?
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I kind of, as we mentioned before, like, Austin's quickly getting gentrified, and which is pushing out a lot of people of color. So,
yeah,
very, very few African American artists in particular.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we do have are amazing, but also Latino artists. So I think that's part of why there's not as much visibility. With the show that I'm curating that's coming up, I'm trying to bring in some of those voices to the city.
Good.
So, yeah, because it's like, well, just because they're not here doesn't mean we can't hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's like great stuff everywhere. There's this space called Nepantla that mm-hmm. So they do like shows and screen printing and things like that. Or in Cesar Chavez. And I mean, you have to dig. I'm not going to lie. You do have to dig around and see.
One thing, though, that I've experienced here is kind of... with the younger, I'm not going to say, I mean, it was just like with one group of kids, but I was mm-hmm. hanging out. And when I say kids, I don't like when people say
diminish.
That. Because you say that all the time, Babelito, and it's like, they're 20 years old, they're adults. Younger
people. I call people in their 40s kids.
I know, I don't like that. But, so I shouldn't do it either.
She don't like nothing.
I know, I don't like nothing.
Que molesta.
No, but there's a young... You know, there's people in their 20s here who have just kind of like given up and have like given into the gentrification. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I just kind of started noticing that like they...
It's sexy, man. I mean...
It's sexy, but also it's like... It's another, to me, this is an extension of colonization, right? So, like, most of the east side of Austin was owned and by brown people, right? By Mexicans. And
because they were forced here.
Because they were, I mean, they were only allowed here, first of all. Yeah. I mean, anyways.
Yes. Wasn't there a piñata place that became a cat coffee shop or something like
Girl,
that?
Girl, that's going to be a whole episode. Okay. Okay, preview. Okay, so...
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. No, but we were hanging out at this place called Lucky's or Liberty.
Oh, the Liberty
It was called Liberty. Yeah. And it was like this little bar and next to it. And it, of course, most of it was outdoors because everybody likes to hang out like animals here outside. I don't know why. Como que están en un pinche corral. Like, what the fuck? It's hot outside and everybody's outside. And then, so...
That's Austin.
But then there's a condo building on one side and a brand new one on the other side. And one of the people we were with was like, yeah, they're probably going to tear this place down any minute and put another one up. Like, oh, well. Kind of thing. I was like, you guys should be fighting for this place. I mean, you like this place, you come here and you don't even care. I mean, I just think that Austin is such an amazing place.
I love it. I love the city.
And I mean, it is changing. Every city is like this though, so it's not unique to this place. It's just like on hyperspeed here. It is. Feel like
No, it is. I mean, it's the fastest growing city in the US right now.
When did you move to Austin?
January 1st, 2001.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Before it got crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. So you've been here a long time. You're like,
I came here just as W was leaving.
Oh.
To go to Washington. Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. And are you from Texas, though? Where are you from?
I'm from El Paso.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, El Chuco.
Born and raised. And then I went to school north of Dallas in Sherman, Texas at Austin College. Just a little... tiny liberal arts school.
Wait, what high school? We talked about this, but what high school you went to?
Riverside.
Riverside.
Yes, Riverside.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
I'm familiar. Yes. You have family in Juarez?
I think maybe some like distant cousins at this point. My tío used to live there. But he's passed. But he had a bakery there for many, many years.
Where?
I was a kid. I don't remember.
You remember, okay.
But man, just going there on Sundays and... eating the fresh bolillos.
Yes. Oh,
that was so good.
Oh, my gosh.
Bolillos.
Yes.
We got so excited. I know Austin, it's primarily a music town. And that's what attracted me to Austin in the beginning. And I mean, that's why I used to come here. One of my best friends lives here, but also come for music festivals. Are there any good Latinx or POC bands from Austin that you can recommend? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no. Well, we talked a little about Brownouts here.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Shout out to Brownout.
Yeah.
Yes. They're amazing.
No te duermas, güey.
I'm not. Don't look at
me. Food coma.
I know. I was thinking about that. I was like eating, when I was eating the migas, I was like, oh, I'm eating tortillas with tortillas.
Yes.
Un taco de tortillas.
Un taco de tortillas, yeah, for sure. And here we are drinking, in true Austin fashion, I'm drinking kombucha right now. Kombucha, how do you say it? Oh, yeah. So one thing that Michael and I have bonded over is our love for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And
since season one.
Since season one.
Who's your favorite queen?
Oh, you would say that. there's so many.
Choose one.
No. Just one.
I think one that like just really gets to my heart just because of personality and just their sheer talent is Katia.
Yes.
Yekaterina Petrovna Zamolochkova. Yes.
Yes.
But your dad just calls her Katia.
Yes. She's amazing. There, and her and Trixie Mattel are going to have their own show on Viceland.
Yes.
That's
which is so cool. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't wait.
They deserve. See, sometimes white people deserve, you know?
Yes.
And they do, for sure. Well, Michael, you have anything coming up in the next few months?
Yeah. So I have that performance here in Colab, and then I'm doing a performance in Chicago in conjunction with Three Walls and the Wabash Arts Corridor. They're doing a series of performances up there. So both of those are in October. And then I'm curating a show of abstract painters from Texas here in Austin for East Austin Studio Tour in nice. November.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So we'll be sure to share those links on the website. Yeah. And also, I know that, I don't know if you want people to know this, but you're also a music video ho now.
Oh, yes. literally.
And so one of my favorite drag queens here in Austin, well, I don't even want to call her a drag queen, a performance artist, mm-hmm. I would say,
yeah, she's a performance
is
artist.
Christine. And if you don't know Christine, so get to know her.
Christine. Life together.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Tears from My Pussy, great song, great video. She's a singer, songwriter, actress. Christine is going to come out with a new video called
Action Toilet.
And yes. Michael has a really great part in that video. So we'll post
it.
We'll post it when it comes out. Yeah. Yes.
I'm in two parts, but one part you can only recognize me because the other part's just my ass.
Oh my god, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go watch it right now.
No, it's a great song too. That's why I can't wait till they release it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much. Michael has also been my guide here in Austin, has showed me all the really awesome restaurants, and thank you so much for making me feel at home right away. Yes, and I met so many awesome people, seen so many great places through him. And I know we talk a lot of shit about Austin because of, you know, the gentrification and this and that and Guara Guara La Cuchara. But truly, it has been a nonstop love fest here. Like, there's so many amazing people that have reached out to me that I've hung out with. Mm-hmm. Every day I'm invited to go to an event, a party, a fundraiser, just a get together here. It's a very social town, and it's a very accepting town, and I really love that about this place. Like, there's all kinds of different people here, and everybody's welcome, which is nice.
There was a period where like, things were not so good in Juarez, because I used to go to Juarez once or twice a year, and that was my time to just be with friends.
Yes.
And I stopped for a couple years, and that's when I started coming to Austin.
Oh.
And because of the people here, Austin for a while felt like Juarez, because it had that feeling where I could just be with friends, go eat, and then have a beer, and effortlessly. So I totally agree with Justin that this is a pretty badass town.
Fabi,
thank you, Justin.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Small town feel for a big city, especially if you're within certain communities. Like, I mean, really, my only social life is through the art community. And all the people here are just super supportive and nice. And, you know, I can't come complain.
Vámonos a agarrar de las manos.
Yes.
Kumbaya, my lord. Oh, Kumbaya. All right.
I was gonna sing el Puma. Agárrense de las manos. But anyway.
Bye.
To each own.
Bye.
And we're back.
Hemos regresado.
Thank you, Michael. Oh my gosh, that took me back to the hot ass studio.
That took me back to that beard.
Oh, bitch, you thirsty ass bitch. Oh my gosh. Anyways, Michael, we miss you. Come to Las Vegas again. He came to Vegas to visit us before. Remember that? That
was
so much fun.
That was cool.
But anyways, we're going to be in Austin again soon.
Ya me quiero ir, güey.
I know. Look at this bitch.
Cállate.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we miss you. Some of us more than others. And we'll see you soon. Thank you so much for being on Latinos with Lunch. And again, we're going to put up Michael's website on latinoswithlunch.com so you can check out all of his work and everything that we talked about in the interview.
And as we promised before, we are going to start reading your letters, your listener letters. So don't forget to send us your letters. You can send them to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. But we have an amazing letter right here.
All right.
Shall I?
You better read that
letter.
Shall
I? Okay. Hola, my name is Gabriela, and she didn't want to be anonymous. She wanted me to say her name. I am a 23-year-old. I recently started working for a company again. I had worked for them for 3 years before I moved away. In the past, I have dealt with ignorant bullshit being spewed in the office. Before, I used to keep my head down and keep it to myself. Now that I'm back and remembering all this shit, it's hard for me to be quiet. Oof, okay. In my time here, I've been asked if my parents are documented. Jokes have been made, quote-unquote, questioning my status. Amidst the NFL protests, they have made jokes about black people being killed. Dios mío. Mocking the issue as if it's not real. They mock people who complain about racism as if it isn't real. I've also had to sit while coworkers have said things like, quote, I don't care if you come here, but if you do, you better learn to speak English or I won't work with you. The ones that come here are hard workers. They'll do whatever you ask them. It's the ones that are born here that are lazy, end of quote. Ay, me estoy encabronando, güey. I know you're probably like, ¿qué estás haciendo ahí, estúpida? Escápate. It's not that easy. I'm in a situation where I'm the only one dependent on my income. I'm not the only one dependent on my income anymore. I also live in a state where I can't easily find a new career that won't have the same problem. I'm hesitant to speak about this with HR because, believe it or not, that puta also chimes in during these ignorant discussions, and this is a ride to work state. I'm torn between two options, leave or go somewhere else. I only reject this idea because I feel like I shouldn't have to leave. I've gotten advice before to remember that first and foremost, I have to take care of myself and survive. Have you been in this situation before? Do you think culture-sensitive training will work on about 750-year-old Republicans? P.S. They don't only talk shit about immigrants, POC, but all marginalized people in general, i.e. LGBT community. Ayúdenme, porfa. Gracias, Gabriela. First of all, thank you much, Gabriela, for being so ballsy and sending us that email and telling us all these problems. But girl, how do you do it? ¿Tú qué piensas?
Well, I have been fortunate enough to not have a day job for like a year now. And
it's a privilege, man. It's a privilege.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Trust me. I know. pretty much every office that I've worked at, I've had to ignore racist, ignorant, bullshit comments from coworkers. The last boss that I had, well, not the last boss, but when I worked for a corporation, because I worked for a nice organization before this. The last boss that I had used to call me Taco Taco. That was her nickname for me.
No mames, güey.
Yes.
I can't. I can't do that.
I had to just be silent because I had to pay my student loans. I had to pay my rent. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I feel her. Because there's a lot of woke people working at jobs with ignorant, racist people. And we really can't afford to say anything. And people always say, this topic has been coming up a lot lately because there's a lot of exposing that has been happening in the news because of different things.
Yes.
I'm just going to go into it.
Go for it.
So, the whole Me Too, Harvey Weinstein thing, a lot of people are criticizing women because they don't come out at the workplace and say they're being sexually harassed. Well, hello, what if this is a single mother who has a couple jobs and can't afford to lose the job?
Yeah.
So she's staying quiet, you know? So it's not black and white. It's not that easy.
It's a struggle. And I think that, as we said it before, you have to be strategic with your words. You have to be strategic with your actions. And I feel like you need to give it a little bit of time and test the field and know what you can mention something, because some of these comments, I feel like no matter where you are in the United States, that's enough reason for somebody to get fired.
Yeah.
Especially the way that she wore them in her email. And I cut some things from the email, but I try to get the best part of it. But jokes about people, black people being killed, like that's enough reason for somebody to get fired. So if that's going, I mean, if that really, I mean, it's so offensive that you have to mention something. You have to, if it's not HR, you have to go with somebody higher. But yeah, I understand. I mean, you have to be very strategic, but I wouldn't stay silent. As hard as it is, I wouldn't stay silent. It's just depending on what you're going to say.
Girl, I know. Okay, we're living in this world where, you know, we're all woke as fuck, and we're all out here trying to change the world and talking about, you know, like, if you see something, say something. You know, silence is consent. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But it's not that easy. And
I'm not defending her.
I'm just from personal experience. Case and point. I didn't think I was going to talk about this, but this is the perfect example. Okay.
Go for it.
So when I was in Austin, I was working with a pinata shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get into it, girl. I was working with this pinata shop that I'm not going to say the name, but it was forced out of. It was a really tragic story, and I heard about it before going to Austin. The people that owned this pinata shop got kicked out. Apparently, they were being sent notices by the developers who owned the building, and they ended up demolishing the building with all the pinatas inside of it. Right?
Hijos de su reputísima madre.
So, I mean, the pictures are crazy because you can see all the merchandise, all the piñatas still in the building, and the building just like crumbled on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the family showed up like in the morning and everything was ruined. And so this became like so symbolic to show the violence and the gentrification that's happening in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The community rallied around them and they opened up a new shop, and it's only been open for a couple months. And when I was out there, I went to the shop and I said, "Hey, I love that the community got around you. I love that you reopened and you're one of these small businesses still sticking around, mm-hmm. sticking it to the man. I want to help you guys. I want to work for you guys for free. I want to intern here."
Yeah.
So I did that for a few days. I got to know the people that work there, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Until we were sitting around and this conversation started. Everybody was comfortable with each other because I had been there. This is going to suck, dude. I can't wait for you to hear this. And it was like una prima estaba ahí it was like family. And one of the owners opens her mouth and says, the prima was like, "Oh, did you hear about this Trump thing that he's going to change the child support laws?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, no, I didn't know. I don't really listen to the news anymore."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah. And it's going to really benefit all his rich white friends, you know, because..."
Like everything he fucking does.
"Because they're not going to have to pay child support."
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the people in the room said, "Oh, yeah. And... all the N-words."
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And me, Favi Fav, I have a socially conscious podcast, was just like, "What the fuck?
Did that just happen?
I cannot believe I just heard that," right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like sitting there cutting paper, working for free for this place,
mm-hmm.
because I believe in it,
mm-hmm.
because of what I thought it stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like froze.
Fuck, man.
And instead of being
that
like,
sucks.
Instead of saying like, "What the fuck?" Like you said, taking a stand and saying something, I was just quiet and I was just in shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he looked at me. You know how Mexicans, when they tell a joke,
mm-hmm.
they have to tell the joke over and over again?
Pa que pegue.
Pa que pegue. So he mm-hmm. thought I didn't hear him. So then he says it again. And then I just like looked down, like I didn't know what to do. I should have stood up and said something.
Man, that shit.
But it was like,
your world like went crumbling down because of this shit.
I felt like cussing him out.
Yeah.
But then everything that I have been taught my whole life,
yeah,
porque like te educaron bien. my grandma just like. The image of my grandma just like floated into my head, like, "Do not disrespect this man in his own house."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't. I'm not gonna cuss this guy out in his own fucking house. Mm-hmm. I gotta get out of here. So that was all I did. I just like put everything down, and I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go. I'm done today." And I left.
And he knew. He knew when you did that. When you put everything down.
Yeah.
He knew what it was, and they know when they repeated that question. When they repeated the word again, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he wanted. He wanted to highlight that as if it was a joke. And you made it clear that it wasn't a joke. It's very difficult. It's very complicated. And when that happens, and it's happened to all of us, because we all have a fucking racist sibling or friend in the Latino community. Like, that's a fucking reality. Like, most of us have. I think the best approach, because I've been thinking about it, it's to fucking question it. Just be like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What else are you going to do? You're right.
I know. But this is the difference. Like, you can do that when you're in a setting. Like, if I'm at Thanksgiving and my uncle said that. I'm going to say that. Because I know that I'm not... That this is my... These are my people. This is the message that I want to give... ¿Cómo se llama? Gabriel?
Gabriela.
This is the message I wanted Gabriela, like, there is a time and a place for it, but then I also understand the other side of it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to change these old white dudes' like opinion. These dudes' opinions, you can't. You know what I mean?
But you can question it.
You can question it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because if all you have to... And that's the thing. Like, it's not to judge, because those situations always caught you off guard, especially in a situation like that. When this dude's shop was used as a symbol for how fucked up gentrification it is. And then you get that... But I think, all you have to do, if you feel like you cannot be quiet because you have to say something, but at the same time, you cannot raise hell because you're going to lose your job, just question them. Tilt your head and question it and be like, what do you mean by that? And you're always going to push them into a corner where they know they're about to say something stupid and they're not going to repeat it again. I can assure you that. Other than that, you're going to have to complain and say something, and then you're going to risk your job. So just poco a poquito way, like poco a poquito, start like planting the seed and just questioning them. And at one point they'll know that those questions are your form of protest. Y se van a tener que callar, güey, porque se van a tener que callar. I hope so. So
yeah.
So good luck, man. Good luck, Gabriela, because again, thank you. Thank you so much for sending this sensitive letter. But stay strong, because this is happening all the time, every day. And we get so many messages like that, especially from our listeners that are not necessarily from places like LA, Chicago, New York, where they don't have the privilege of being surrounded by people of all colors and all places. Instead, están encerrados con una chinga de blanquitos, and está cabrón, güey. It's hard, but... Anyway,
híjole, man, that just depressed the shit out of me.
Yeah. ¿Y ya no regresaste?
Oh my god, I'm just like, I need a drink.
Did you ever come back to that place?
No, I never went back.
Good. At times I feel like we also need to reserve the right when something's worth it or not. And at that moment, I think you made a decision that this was not worth it, and. I mean, you have that choice. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Sure. Okay.
Dios mío.
Well, thank you for sending that in. Again, you can send us your questions at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Do you have any recommendations this week, Pavelito?
I sure do.
Talk about it. Let us know.
So Armando Ibáñez is this awesome guy who has been working so hard to put together this YouTube series that he started last year.
Okay.
The name of them is Undocumented Tales, or UndocuTales, and it's basically like short stories. Remember Brujos? That,
yes.
Sort of like that, but this is about being undocumented in LA and the kind of bullshit that you have to deal with every day, especially ignorant bullshit, speaking of, that people have to deal with in the service industry, in the entertainment industry, everywhere. So he's been inspired by Issa Rae and the Awkward Black Girl series, and he decided to do his own. And
UndocuTales.
UndocuTales, Undocumented Tales. They have a webpage, UndocumentedTales.com, and YouTube series. And the second season just came out. It's fresh. Cool. The first couple episodes just came out. And they are so... Estoy picadísimo, güey.
I bet so you are.
But anyway, don't forget Undocumented Tales. I will put the links on the website.
¿Y tú qué recomendaciones tienes?
Well, okay, so we always talk about Drag Race on this fucking show, but I'm obsessed with that shit. And, you know, I am the biggest chicken. Like, I don't like scary movies. I don't like, I don't even...
Te asustas con E.T.
Dude, I didn't watch E.T. till I was a grown-ass man.
No mames, neta.
I swear. I'm the biggest fucking chicken, okay? Oh, and I used to be scared to go to Disneyland. I was like, I am not going into that Diabolico ride. I cannot.
Esto es del diablo.
Splash Mountain is del diablo. But
ese churro es del diablo.
But now I am 100% satanico. So I've started to like explore, right? Mm-hmm. So last year, a couple years ago, I like watched The Exorcist for the first time, like in the movie theaters.
Ay, pero están tan chistosos.
And The Shining, that was terrifying.
No,
okay?
It was. No mames.
I'm a very spiritual person, so. But, oh my God. Okay, so anyways, do you know who the Boulé brothers are?
Claro que no.
Okay, so the Boulé brothers are like these Hollywood drag queens that are like monster drag, like gross, spooky, scary drag.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a YouTube series.
What are they called?
It's called Dragula.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
A lot of the Scum girls are come from there. Yes, yes.
Meatball was on
last
season.
Shout out Scum, yes.
Yeah. So season one came out, and then season two, they got a little bit more production money. They're on Wow Presents now.
¿Y qué tals?
And the second season is out. By the time this comes out, I think it'll be the third or fourth episode.
We gotta watch them together.
Bitch. They're scary. They're disgusting. And I thought I couldn't get through a whole episode. But listen, spoiler alert.
Sí, wait, porque
if you no, spoiler alert. Okay. If you haven't seen it,
no,
the first episode, I don't even remember what the challenge was because I'm so traumatized by what happened at the end. So they do like the show on the main stage. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like drag. I mean, it's like Drag Race, but it's very dramatized. Like there's not a lot of them in the workroom. Mm-hmm. It's very like, it's almost like it's very campy in a way.
What is campy?
Campy is just like very, you
know what that means.
I don't know what that means. It's just like they're just doing skits the whole time.
Oh, okay, basically. Okay.
And anyway, so they do the last part of the show, and they narrow it down to the three bottom queens.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having them lip sync for their life, like on Drag Race, they have them do some fucked up shit to each other.
Oh no!
So the first episode,
they put
needles through their body, like through their arms, and whoever could withstand the most. Need like fucking giant needles through their bodies.
But por qué?
Because it's fucked up.
Yes!
I like, gotta see bleeding, this. Like real blood. It was disgusting. Yeah, and then they kill one of them at the end. But that's like...
Bitch, I'm entering a whole new chapter in my life. I'm gonna embrace all that dirty shit.
I love it. It's so gross. It's great. Anyway, that's my recommendation.
Se me puso la piel de gallina.
I'm sure.
Ándale pues.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it was so nice sitting here with you and talking to you.
Please take vitamin C so you don't get sick after this session.
Yeah, coughing all over my shit. Like, your mom didn't teach you right. You just, like, cough into...
Wait, me lo cubra así.
Not every time, dude. We're going to have to change these microphone condoms after this. But, okay. Well, I'll see you at Wellesley.
Yes.
On November 17th.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll be at
Podcasterio
Fest / Molcajete Dominguero on November 19th.
And then back home for another session, another roundup of sessions of Latinos Who Lunch.
And as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. And... fuck, I forgot. I know, I almost did it on the first try. And as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. You can email us again, latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Please, if you have a moment, go on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, review us, give us 5 stars.
5 estrellas only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, and visibility is...
essential.
I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao.